A weak solidarity Bricky team listener went twice in a week, irresponsible, no respect for their elders, school students took to the streets in defiance of mature adults like socialist and caring business class politicians who warned them against thinking climate change, if there is such a thing, posed a threat to their very existence, and against denouncing the existence, if it can be called existence, suffered by Palestinian children. Death, injury, orphaned, homeless, constant fear of bombs and guns, no health care, no education, no basic amenities, no food or potable water. That huge protest and march described by the Zionist lobby as a hate fest, leaving us to ponder which bit of opposing the dreadful suffering of children is hate. The very perpetrators of the suffering deeming it hate to oppose their slaughter and destruction. On which, and not as satire, the obvious hypocrisy of the Zion lobby, removing support for and boycotting any person or organisation who stroke which is in any way critical of the slaughter, but accusing those who call for a boycott of businesses associated with Zion, anti-Semitic. And in 5 days or less, Zion plans to continue the genocide. Shame to those who denounce the student protests, and congratulations to those thousands of young activists. Now, the week that was, a week when people are often critical of True Blue Aussie's richest person, but Gina Wronghart is all heart, caring only for the common good, exemplified this week in her call for government to stop preventing investment in what she calls the backbone of society, the resources and agribusiness sectors. And it's but a coincidence that Gina just happens to have huge financial interests in both. It's simply her concern for the less well-off, which in her case is everybody else. Mining corporations and their workers should spend time every day lobbying government to remove impediments to investment and therefore to prosperity for all of us, like environmental controls and the need to consult annoying non-entities like Terra Nullius Non-Land Non-People. Gina's iron ore mine proposed for McPhee Creek, a classic example. Delayed by Western True Blue Aussie Environment Protection Authority green tape such as demanding an exclusion zone around a bat cave, which must be reduced. Indeed, Gina is appealing against the crippling environmental conditions placed on the project. The delays in assessing the McPhee project by overreaching and onerous conditions has delayed our investment, preventing the creation of jobs and economic activity. Gina was so upset, selfless because her concern solely those who do not have those jobs, never thinking of herself. But Gina, you could proceed immediately if you accept the EPA conditions. And those conditions have forced us to appeal. It is bureaucracy gone mad, with no concept of how great businesses like Gina Inc. operate. And what environmental conditions would conform with how you operate? Well, carte blanche. The altruism of the filthiest rich of the filthy rich to make life better for peoples across the globe was proven by an Oxfam report this week that the filthiest rich 1% is responsible for the same amount of carbon emissions as the poorest of the poor 2/3 of the global population, or 5.11 billion people. How lucky, lucky, lucky those 5.11 billion poorest of the poor that the 1% of the world's filthy richest so care for them. But it's not just Gina upset at the bureaucratic barriers placed before the resource giants' altruistic crusade to eradicate world poverty, which some cynics, and we certainly wouldn't agree, some cynics might say at their rate of emissions will succeed by eradicating the world altogether, with Santosas the prophet supremo Kevin Gag all of you declaring righteously, the shrill voices of climate activists and politicians in affluent electorates representing the wealthiest True Blue Aussies is costing the country jobs and reducing the living standards of average True Blue Aussies by blocking new gas projects. In this case, upset that selfish, selfish Tiwi Islanders have won a court injunction on poor Santosas running a gas pipeline through their traditional waters from its Barossa project north of True Blue Aussie, pending a full hearing. No amount of climate litigation will make the energy transition faster or stop the oil and gas projects needed to meet the world's energy demands. But if it continues, it will cost true blue Aussie jobs, it will drive up energy prices, and it will damage our economy, he told the Western True Blue Aussie Energy Club, and surprise, surprise, they all agreed. See, like Gina, his sole concern is jobs. And we know how much they go out of their way to make energy prices as low as possible. Further, Kevin complained the Tiwi case is being funded by the Environment Defenders Office, presumably giving them an advantage over poor Santosas. An outrageous abuse of and use of the public purse. Wasted public money that could be used to provide subsidies and corporate welfare for the great resource behemoths, contributing to the emissions they know are essential for the transition from emissions. With industry spokesperson Samantha McClock, the Greenies providing the obvious sensible solution. Ban them. The government must step in and end the lawfare. Samantha ordered the government. Lawfare. Abuse of the legal process by Greenies activists, Terra Nullius, non-land, non-people, the Environment Defenders Office, made worse by the little fact that time and again the law they abuse rules in their favour. Samantha and Kevin and Gina know democracy and respect for the proper legal processes demands they be banned from access to the law. It's just common sense. Also expressing common sense, the big true blue Aussie of which we're all so proud, BHP for bloody huge profits, bloody huge polluter, warning us, the true blue Aussie's position as the world's premier mining destination, news in itself, is threatened by the Albanese government's looming industrial relations overhaul and sharp increases in state government mining royalties. Poor bloody huge, selfish, selfish governments, and the threat that it may have to pay its workers the same pay for the same job when it established its own labour hire subsidiary to avoid that threat to prosperity. Clearly, in the national interest, as Reserve Losses Bank Supremo Michelle Bulldust also told a caring business class get-together this week, the sole cause of inflation was wages, and wage rises meant rates would have to keep rising to control inflation. But Michelle, I displayed my naivety, aren't the huge increases in prices by the corporate sector the reason why it's called inflation? That is so naive, that so misses the point. But wages are simply the price of labour. As prices soar, shouldn't the price of labour increase, and wage rises are still not keeping up with the cost of living anyway? That is so naive, that so misses the point. Every economist who understands the delicate flower that is the economy knows wages are the sole cause of inflation. We must rein in the greed of workers. There, my naivety exposed by the expert. That contributor to the economy extolled by Gina and Kevin and bloody huge profits is highlighted by great international fossil Chev wronged by the tax man, who revealed that in 2021 on revenue of $9.2 billion, this great corporate citizen paid a massive tax impost of exactly $30 on $9.2 billion. And it complained, this is true, that it should have paid nothing. Naturally, like all of them, it meets its legal tax obligations. Mentioned last week, our Minister Michelle, rolling along with them, was given a lavish birthday lunch by the gambling industry. Well, no connection, but this week Michelle announced she was unlikely to adopt a call to ban gambling advertising. And we're sure the cost of all that advertising helps them meet their legal tax obligations. The Spit the Dummy Loyalty of the Week award to caring business class party MP Russell Broad burnt his bridges, who resigned from the caring business class party on a matter of profound principle. He got knocked off at pre-selection for the seat he's held on and off for more than 30 years. Not just knocked off, 161 votes to 16, showing his broad-burnt support. So it's their own fault. If they'd supported him, he wouldn't have had a quit. To sit on the cross benches, well named in the circumstances, until the next election, after which he'll be sadly missed by all of us who appreciate the parliamentary democratic system. The euphemism of the week award was a walk-up start. Well, a blow-up start, after Elon makes fortune, Starship rocket blew up yet again, and yet again Elon's team called it a huge success, presumably because it managed to get off the ground before it blew up. Sure, sure, it's a huge success if the idea is for it to blow up, but I rather think that isn't the plan, and all these huge explosions must be encouraging potential passengers whom Elon hopes to attract. But no, calling the disaster a success was not the euphemism of the week. That came from an Elon employee who excitedly lauded the success, then said there was a rapid unscheduled disassembly. A rapid, unscheduled disassembly? The bloody thing blew to smithereens. Elon team, your euphemism of the week award is on its way. Finally, not a particularly amusing ending, but this international incident over sonar discombobulating a couple of True Blue Aussie trained killers, told it can cause confusion. Good heavens, confused train killers, confusion, disorientation, internal organ damage, a litany of illnesses. But presuming True Blue Aussie and the US Arb and the train killer merchandise marauding the oceans all use sonar, why hasn't someone asked, what the hell is it doing to the marine life which can't clamber back on board and get out of the way? Oh, of course, they don't matter. Good morning.